Father, we come today and we do thank you for that wonderful light that you have given us, the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, also the light of your word, the light of your Holy Spirit, and the other agencies of light that you have brought to us since we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray today, John asks, talks about us walking in the light. So that's our emphasis today. And we just pray, Lord, that the light won't be wasted on us, but that we, all of us, from leadership and right on through, all of us, whatever our, as we would say, walk in life is out there in the world, but as believers, that every one of us would daily be walking in the light. That's where you want us to be, and that's where we're going to be blessed, and that's where others are going to be blessed. So we pray that you'll keep us truly and really walking in your life. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks and have some notes and take them home, now would be the time to get those. They're going to be, I guess, on the flip side of the scripture reading there in your bulletin. We just want to talk a little bit about walking in the light. That's a wonderful place to walk. And I think Bennett put it quite well. When we don't have light, all kinds of things happen. If we're walking around in the dark, the first thing that can happen is that we can stumble. Another thing that can happen is that if we're walking in the dark, we can walk right into something. Now, some people do that in broad daylight, too, but that's usually because they're texting or something like that. But if we're in the dark, we can also walk into something. We can trip on something. We can also wind up with our foot in a hole or something and turn an ankle. And then, worst case scenario, we could walk right off of a cliff. And then the other thing is, there could be dangers. There could be a snake in the way, and we would not see it. There could be a wild animal lurking nearby, and we would not see it. There could be all kinds of dangers around us, and we would not see them because we are in the dark. And indeed, when we're in the dark, we don't know, I guess we don't know what we're missing, you know. But people that don't know the Lord, do they really think they're in the dark? You know, a lot of times they don't think they're in the dark, but they are. We supposedly live in an enlightened society. We have all this knowledge now. We have all this technical knowledge. We have all this medical knowledge. We have all this different kind of knowledge. And because we have all that, we think we are enlightened. But you can be enlightened in all of those ways, and your soul can still be lost. So God has something to say about the light, and he's the only true light. And his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was sent in order to be the light. And the message about him, which we call the gospel, is the light. And then we have his word, which is also the light. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and so forth. So today, it's just a little devotional type message, but it's just to remind us and remind myself that we need to walk in all the light that the Lord has given us. So let's just take a real quick look at some of the light that God has given us from his word. Number one, as believers, we walk in the light of the gospel. And that's the whole thing. Why was it Bible study started here in 1903 that this church grew out of? Why do we have Awana? Why do we send missionaries to other countries? Why do people go to other countries? Sometimes in very dangerous conditions. Marcy was sharing with us today about Awana missionaries in Sierra Leone and how that many opportunities for ministry have actually been shut down because of it, because there's so much chaos, there's so much fear. And the government now is meddling in the Baptist hospitals, which is mostly what's over there. And it's a chaotic situation. But why do people go into these situations? because people are in darkness and they need the light. They need the light of the gospel. And wherever the gospel has not come, there is darkness. Darkness takes many forms. They worship ancestors. They worship images. They worship Buddha. They engage in voodoo. They engage in spirit, what we used to call spiritualism, spiritism, and communicating with the dead. They deal in fortune telling. They deal in witchcraft. They deal in secular humanism. And we could go right on down the list, but wherever the gospel has not come, people are walking in absolute darkness, and the only thing that is going to dissipate that darkness is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the gospel comes, the light comes, and then people receive the gospel, they receive the light, and then all of those practices of darkness go away. In Ephesians 5, if you want to read it again, Paul talks about that. And he said, we're of the day now. We got to get rid of these works of darkness and not have any fellowship whatsoever with the works of darkness. That was then. We're in the light now. We're not supposed to be doing the practices of darkness anymore. Can I hear an amen? We're not supposed to be in that anymore. The Lord has brought us out of the darkness, and he's brought us into his glorious light, and therefore now we're supposed to be living as children of light and actually be lights, the way the moon is a light. The moon is a light because it reflects the light of the sun. And so as we go around, in a sense, we're a light, but it's because of the light of Christ. But we have the light of the gospel, and until the gospel comes and breaks into our hearts, we are walking in darkness. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I like all that stuff. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. He called you and he called me out of darkness. I was born into a Christian home, but until I received Christ for myself, I was in darkness. He called me out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Then Paul says, and even if he talks about how we're an open book to be read by everyone, that we don't use shady tactics and we don't use deception and we don't use psychological tricks in order to get people to receive the gospel. We just preach the message. We hold the light out there for people to see. And he says, and even if our gospel, capital G, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And then he says, I love this verse, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. When did he say that? At creation, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. And then also in Colossians, Paul says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So as believers, we are now walking in the truth, and truth and light are synonymous. We are walking in the light of the gospel. Now, after we have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are walking in the light of the gospel, that's the general light that he is sending into the world in order to dissipate the darkness, but we have tools of light that he has given us. And one of those, one of the most important is his word. So number two on our list here is, we walk in the light of Scripture, God's written word. So once I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He saves me. He takes me out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His Son. He takes me out of the darkness and into His glorious light. But now He's given me His written word so that I can have the light that I need for daily living. I have lights. We have lights in the house that are on, but we also have flashlights. And we also have headlights. How many have headlights on your car? Why do you have those for? It's so you can see where you're going. Now, when you get out there on that interstate, any of them, or any of the streets, and it's night and it's dark and you've got your headlights on, how far do those headlights allow you to see? Do they allow you, let's say you're leaving Tidewater and you're headed to Richmond. Does the headlight on your car let you see all the way to Richmond? Does it let you see all the way to the Williamsburg line? No, it does not. But it gives you enough light for the next step. That's the same way with the flashlight, enough light for the next step. And we have the light of Scripture, and as we spend time in the Scripture every day, that's our light, that's our guidance. That's the very thing that Bennett was talking about, avoiding the pitfalls and things. We know the Lord, we've come out of the kingdom of darkness, we're in His glorious light, but we need the light of His Word every day to be guiding us. And we can love the Lord, but that doesn't mean that we know everything we need to know. How many know that ignorance can be expensive? Some of us have probably experienced that before. It can cost you. Well, the Lord doesn't want that. He wants you to have His life. He's given you His written word. And yet, how many of you would go out in the dark? Well, some of us might, but go out in the dark and leave the flashlight indoors? Why would we do that? We've got the light. Let's use the light. Sometimes I'm working down under a cupboard or something. Not often. Once in a long time. But I say, I need more light down here. Could you bring me the big flashlight? And so sometimes, you know, again, to avoid the dangers and just to be able to see where we're going. And we need to see both. We need to see the positive things. We need to see the positive things, the opportunities the Lord is giving us. We also need to be able to see the dangers, either internal or external, and both kinds exist. And I'm glad to tell you that the Word of God covers all of them. But we've got to spend the time in the Word of God. And that is walking in the light of His Scripture. And then after we've read it, we've studied it, we've discussed it, we've analyzed it, and we've exegeted it. Some of you might know what that word means. And we've picked it apart, and we've learned the Greek, and we've done everything else. What is the other step that we're supposed to actually do it, aren't we? We're not really walking in the light of it until we actually do what the Word tells us to do. But we have the light of Scripture, God's written Word. Number three, we have the light of God's presence. Oh, on the fact of the Scripture, your Word, we quoted that, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Psalm 119, 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. Isn't that wonderful? Every time I hear a message, and it's based on Scripture, I hear Scripture, the unfolding. Do you love the unfolding of God's Word? The unfolding of your words gives what? Light. Understanding. Vision. It gives understanding to the simple. Well, I guess I qualify. We have the more sure word of prophecy, and you do well that you heed it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and morning star rises in your hearts. There's going to come a day. Have you ever read about heaven and about the New Jerusalem, and that they don't have any need of the light of the sun, because the Son of God and God Himself are the light thereof, and there's not going to be any darkness in heaven, and it says there's no night there. Did you all ever read that? No night. How many are going to like that? I'm going to like that. No night. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. Now we come to the presence part. Into the light of your presence. Now, when Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he said, I'm going to be leaving you soon, he says, when I leave, somebody else is coming. Who did he say was coming? Huh? The Holy Spirit. And he said, he's going to lead you into all truth. And all the things that I wanted to tell you, but I didn't have time. And all the things that I wanted to tell you, but you weren't ready to hear them yet. He's going to teach them to you. Now, would you call that light? And so the Holy Spirit is the great light bearer. And I don't know how this works exactly, but we've already talked about the written word being the light. Well, the Holy Spirit sheds light on the light. Because without his assistance, how many of us can truly understand God's intended meaning of his word? We can't. We won't. We may know the grammar. We may know the physical words that are on the page, but being able to understand it, that's only as the Holy Spirit. And then daily also, he wants us to walk in his presence. When we walk in an attitude of prayer, how many believe it's good to walk in an attitude of prayer? Now, when we say walk, what do we mean? We mean live daily. By the way, this whole thing, walking in the light, the Greek word that John uses all the time is peripateo. Now, we know petty, peripheral, around the edges, all around. And pateo means to tread or to trample. So it means to tread or trample all around, walking all over the place. And so it says walk in the light. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about our when you're driving your SUV, you know, to the soccer game and all that, that would come under that. When you're going all around. And to be walking in an attitude of prayer is to be walking in his presence. How many believe that when we pray, the Lord is no further away than that prayer? How many believe that? Somebody was talking about that this week. They said, when I address the Lord, he said, I get through immediately, the connection's clear, and there's never any dropped calls. So if that's true, then walking in an attitude of prayer is the main, one of the main ways by which we maintain the Lord's presence with us through the day. And to not do so, it's kind of, he's there, but it's kind of to just shut him out and ignore him. Well, you can come along, but you're not part of this conversation. And that's not exactly what we would call walking in the light. When the Holy Spirit has our ear, and that also comes through the process of prayer. We think prayer sometimes, we think it's just saying what we have to say. Whether it's request, thanksgiving, a big part of prayer is hearing what he has to say. And having an ear. What does it say there? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, current continual tense, is saying. The Holy Spirit has something to say. And so, walking, and he has our ear, that's walking in his presence. And it's walking in the light of his presence, because he will guide us. He will guide us, even in practical matters, even in unforeseen circumstances, he'll guide us. We walk in the light of his presence. Okay, number four. We walk in the light of continual fellowship. You open 1 John, he talks about that which was in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's where I get the continual fellowship. We're to be walking in continual fellowship. With who? Two things. With God and with each other. Continual fellowship. How is that attained? That's a separate sermon almost. But, A, with God, through the confession of sin and forgiveness. Keeping short accounts. Not ignoring stuff. Not denying stuff. Not postponing stuff. You commit a little sin, the devil will tell you, you can wait until this evening to apologize. I don't think so. You can wait until this evening and kneel by your bed and confess this sin. I don't think so, because anything that's left there has a chance to get some root. How many have ever experienced that? It says, give no place to the devil. And so to walk in the light means there's nothing between. There used to be an old song, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I accepted the Lord Jesus, but I also want to walk in continual fellowship. That is maintained because there's no sin standing in the way. And how do we assure that there's no sin standing in the way? Is it because we never sinned? I haven't mastered that one yet. But there is one that we can master, and that is that when I do sin, it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will what? Forgive our sins and do what? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. So if I have His promise, why would I wait 2 hours to do it? So we walk with it. And that's how fellowship is maintained. I've never been down there. How many here have been to Disney? Disney World, Orlando? Huh? That all? I figured everybody had been down there. I've never been down there. But I hear, I haven't heard recently, but I hear that they have people with little brooms and little things, and the minute anything's dropped, they're there and they've got it. They're working on it all the time so that trash never accumulates, because they're dealing with it as it happens. They see you drop a piece of gum or something and they're right there and they've got it right then. That's what we're talking about. Take care of it right then. And then fellowship will be maintain, because that's the only thing that takes care of sin. Feeling guilty about it doesn't take care of it. Confessing it and getting it under the blood, that takes care of it. Then it's gone. So as long as spills happen, there will be sponges and there will be cleansers and stuff, cleaning stuff. And as long as we're in this imperfect situation, but we've got, the Lord has given us the sponge and the cleanser. He's given us the blood of Christ, and He's given a mouth to confess it with. And to go ahead and get it taken care of. I don't know, but I've heard that Spurgeon, how many have heard of Spurgeon, the great preacher? They say he believed in confessing it right on the spot. Right, David. Maintaining that fellowship with the Lord daily. So that's one aspect of it. Continual fellowship with the Lord, and then continual fellowship with each other. And we know what John has to say about that. He says, if we don't love our brother, we're walking in darkness. And if we claim we're in the light, but we're really walking in darkness, we're lying and we're deceiving ourselves. We are not walking in the light at that moment. We may have the gospel, but we're not walking in the light. So, be with each other through openness. honesty, love, and forgiveness. There it is again. As long as there's people that mess up, forgiveness is going to be needed. Sometimes I'm the one that needs to be forgiven. Sometimes it's someone out there I need to forgive. That's how fellowship is maintained. I don't know any other formula, but I know one formula that works 100% of the time. Is that good enough? And so, fellowship. Well, I tell you what, any day that I'm in fellowship with the Lord, and we're in fellowship with each other, I don't care what the weather is outside. It's a good day. Amen? Because I'm walking where? In the light. Two reasons people walk in darkness. Number one, they have no light. That's why we witness. Is there somebody that needs to hear the gospel from you? They might be in your family. They might be your neighbor. They might be at your place of work. They might be a friend or an acquaintance from your high school days. For some of you, that was last year. For some of you, that was in the other century. But people walk in the darkness because they have no light. That's why missionaries go, because they have no light. Here's the other reason people walk in darkness. They ignore the light they have. And it's just like walking around blindfolded. For all functional purposes, if you're 100% totally blindfolded, you may as well be in a dark room, even if the light is shining brightly in the room. And all the same things apply, of stumbling and falling and not seeing the dangers and all the rest. And so the Lord has given us great light. And our part is to walk in it. So that's my closing question today. In fact, this could just be a nice little checklist, okay? Am I walking in the light of the gospel? Check. Am I really walking in the light of Scripture? Sunday school teacher, WANA leader, whatever, memorize some Scripture. But am I actually living by it? Is it really my rule of life? If not, that's an area for what? For us to work on. Am I really walking in the light of His presence? Or am I only aware of the Lord maybe a couple of pointed times in the day, maybe when I'm in a little tight spot or something, or have something I want? And then, am I walking in fellowship with Him? Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Is there any area that I've been ignoring? Is there any area where I've been deceiving myself? Is there any area where I've been holding out on the Lord? I don't know why we try that, but we do. And the other one, any unresolved issues relationally with any of God's people, whether I'm related to them by blood or not. Every single one of those can be remedied by the light the Lord has given us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today. And we thank You for sending the light, because we truly were in darkness. And if You had not sent the light, there would be no light, because the only light is the light that You give and the light that You sent, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Your Holy Word, and Your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, today, we may know Your gospel. We may know a lot of Scripture. But I just have to wonder, are we really walking in the light? And I suppose all of us are in some areas, but all of us may have little corners in our lives where the light just hasn't quite gotten there yet. So we pray, Lord. We pray that we would open up every area of our heart to you, every area of our life, that there would be no part of our life of which we would say, Lord, you can have it all except this one little corner over here. Because if so, that means there's a spot of darkness over there. And Lord, to know you fully now, as well as we can by your word and your spirit, I just have to think it's just going to make it all that much more glorious and such a much easier transition when we actually come into your actual presence. But thank you for the light. And help us to truly be children of light. There's a lot of darkness in this world today. This world needs all the light it can get. May we be that light through you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.